Monday, July 13th, and this is Season 4, Episode 34 of the Four Stars First Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony. With me this week, we have Lucas.
Hello, hello.
Nate.
Hello.
And returning to the podcast, I'm excited to have you here, Joe.
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
How have you been doing? I understand that you've moved out to the suburbs and...
Yeah. That's right.
I'm an extra member to your family, I heard.
Yeah, that's right. I've got two little girls now, and I'm a suburbanite, so I've moved kind of away. It's not because I wanted to get away from you guys at the Atlantic Bar, I promise. Those rumors are not true. But yeah, it's going well, thanks. Strange times for everyone, but, you know, as good as can be.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm glad that Skype makes it a little bit easier for us all to get together, too. It's been great to have you back on, people like Shubes coming in every once in a while. It's been nice to have a good eclectic mix of people. But we have so much to talk about today, so I do want to roll into it. But I do want to start, we have some kind of somber news. We have somber news. We usually like to start with fun news, but I heard that there was something that kind of happened with Serge. Nate, you kind of had the details on that, didn't you?
Well, it's not a kind of something. It's shocking. Yeah. It's terrible. As most will know by now, and probably by the time they listen to this, Serge's brother was shot and killed outside a nightclub, either last night or Sunday night. And I think a lot of us woke up and saw it all over the Twitter feed, and it's just terrible. I just wish the best for him and his family right now. I know Jose has given him the option of either staying or like the club will make arrangements for him to get home if he wants to. I personally couldn't imagine him playing, and there's no way I'd be able to in a similar situation. So I just think just hearts go out to him and his loved ones right now. It's an insurmountable loss.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what he's going through in that instance, and certainly our heart goes out to him. I hope he opts to go home and not stay with the team, because I don't think that's good for him or the team. He's not going to be at his best, and he needs to be with his family. So I hope that's the route he goes, but I definitely respect whatever his decision is there. I hate to start an episode that way, especially when we kind of ended the week on a good note. And I do want to roll into the conversation. We had three matches this week, and I think it was kind of not quite a roller coaster of a week. It was kind of like the teacup rides of the week or something like that. It started off kind of low. Like we just barely scrape a win out against Everton on Monday the 6th, and we kind of cruise into a Bournemouth game where we can't even get a shot on target against the Bournemouth team that hasn't kept somebody from getting a shot on target in 6 years. And then we're all kind of, I think, down on the poor performances that we watched for those first two games, and we're rolling into the North London Derby, and we're I think, all understandably a little bit pessimistic at that point. But I think we ended up being a pretty decent result. I mean, I predicted a win. I think you predicted a win, Lucas, but it was a pretty good result. So I think we have to kind of talk about this week that happened as the week it was, like these highs and lows. We can focus in on specifics and different games, don't get me wrong, but I think let's talk about it as a week in general, because we don't normally play three games at once. So I'll let Joe kick us off.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I'm kind of going to challenge that a little bit, because all of the results this week are improvements on last season's results, the corresponding fixtures, right? So we only drew at home to Everton last year, and we beat them this year. I know it wasn't a great game. Bournemouth was dreadful. I'm not even going to try and put a positive spin on that, but we did lose that game last year. And Arsenal, we only drew with last year, and we beat them. So, and you can even extend that to this whole lockdown. We beat West Ham, we lost to them last year. United, we lost to last year, we beat this year. So,
true.
I'm not saying it's great, but there's definitely, I don't know, I'm just trying to pick the positives, but that's kind of, they're just facts, right? We've improved on all of this week's results or improvements on last year's.
Fair point, and I remember you mentioning that in the chat, and it's a good point. I think what people in general are saying, and I'm going to go to you next, Lucas, but I think what we're seeing a lot of the fan base is saying that it's not the type of Spurs performance that they want. They expect a certain excitement and energy to the play, and it hasn't been that. But the results have been, we've grinded them out to a certain extent. A draw against Bournemouth is kind of pathetic, but it's not like we dropped points like we did against Sheffield United. So what do you think, Lucas?
Well, I was thinking that, like, kind of similar to what Joe was thinking in the terms of just like stats and the fact that it wasn't the most exciting football to watch, and there were times where we looked dreadful, but we got 7 points out of 9, and we allowed 1 goal in 3 games. Like, that's not bad. I mean, like, is it the exciting football we want yet? No, and I think it's going to get there. But as of right now, it's like, I think what Jose's trying to do is just stop the bleeding. And yeah. I think that this week was a good example of that. It wasn't sexy, but it was job done.
Nate?
I think Joe and Lucas, your reactions are kind of the perfect way of describing not only this week, but maybe the Jose Mourinho experience in all. Because when you get results like we did this week, especially on the heels of the Sheffield match, which was probably one of the worst of his, maybe if not the worst of his tenure here, you look on the results themselves and you're satisfied, very much satisfied. 2 clean sheets, 1 goal, and that goal was worldly, beating your rivals. These were things we all needed to improve on. We all said we needed to improve on, especially on defensively when Poch left and when Jose came in. And that's one of the things we all expected him to do. And he did it this week. And you could definitely see that improvement, even with Eric Dier missing it all, who had been arguably the standout defender since the restart. So, well, he was there for Everton, but not the last 2 matches. So, but the experience itself, which goes into the performances, is turgid and frustrating and boring and tedious and so many other synonyms for those words. Because if I was to answer honestly, have I enjoyed the 270 minutes of football that Spurs played this week? I'd say I enjoyed about 90 of it. Maybe a little bit more for like pockets of each of the games, but a lot of it was super ugly, and it's not what we're used to, and it's not the ethos that everyone talks about with Spurs historically as a club. So those are 2 different things that are going to be at war with each other throughout Mourinho's time here. And the only thing that's really going to answer that question of is it worth it is going to be what we have at the end of it, and we can't really answer that right now.
Yeah, it comes down to, like, if he wins us those trophies and next year, let me ask this question. If we got a League Cup next year, would it all be worth it? Like, if we saw, like, these types of performances that we grinded out, like, each week we're getting about, 7 out of every 9 points available. That's about what we're bringing in on a...
If we do that, we'll be in title contention. That'd be fine. I mean, that's exactly it. If we can have stretches like this consistently, we'll be fine, and people will be up there because we'll be contending. But it's all about this. This was 1 week, and we have to see the next game, and we have to look at the everything. And the Sheffield United result still looms, and that's the thing with Mourinho, because the style is so at odds with a lot of people, and a lot of people hate it, and at times I hate it, that I think any kind of bad result is going to be, like, put under the microscope even more than normal, just because he has that against him as well. Like, with Pochettino, first of all, we played bad for about a calendar year, little bit less, but aside from Champions League, obviously, which was wonderful, in the league play, we played pretty atrociously for almost an entire calendar year. But he had earned that time, and he had earned the lack of, maybe for many, the lack of, like, decrying the results, because he had that track record with us. He had earned that. Mourinho hasn't had that with us. And not only has he not had that with us, the way he ended United is also still kind of in people's memories. And that wasn't fun either. It wasn't fun to watch them. He had alienated their star player. Are we seeing similarities here? We are, obviously. So it allows people to have much more question marks when things do go wrong. So it's going to be up to him to make sure they don't. And that'll keep people, if we continue to have weeks like this, people will be overall happy, I think, because we will be exactly where we need to be, where we all want to be. But the moment we're not, people are going to turn on them quick. And right. We've already seen that.
And that's what this week, I mean, Anthony was right with his lead up, like that it did seem like a depressed atmosphere leading into the derby, but the results have been okay. If we'd drawn 3-3 against Bournemouth and it would have been a great exciting game or something, then maybe that would have been a different scenario, because it is this, the turgid football that Nate alludes to. But I think Nate kind of hit the nail on the head. It's not... People are making this false comparison between Pochettino and Mourinho. They're saying, oh, Pochettino team was great, exciting. But the truth is what Nate just said. In all of 2019 under Pochettino, we were shit for the vast majority of that. Like, Mourinho wasn't in charge when we went away to Everton and had one shot on goal. And that was a dreadful game on a par with the Bournemouth game.
That was
Mourinho awful. Wasn't in charge when we went to Brighton and got done 3-0. You know, there were terrible games under Pochettino as well, so it predates Mourinho, and it's a bit of a false dichotomy. People are saying, oh, it's Mourinho versus Pochettino. No, the team's been... This football has been like this for about 18 months now. Probably since we went to Everton and won 6-2 and then beat Bournemouth 5-1. After around that time, around New Year 2019, it's been pretty much the same.
So right after the United game where Kane got hurt, because remember that game, we lost 1-0 to them, and we had like 13 shots on goal.
Yeah, De Gea stood on his head.
Kane got injured in that game, and he was done. Yeah. And after that, things started to suffer. We were like grinding out like 1-0s to...
Sun saved
us like 1,000 times. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then more people started getting hurt, and we had that horrible injury crisis. But then even when Kane came back, we were still dropping points because we lost to Bournemouth. And a game that we looked terrible in too, which brings us back to our Bournemouth game this week. It was awful.
Yeah.
We didn't have a shot on target. Kane had 2 touches in the box. The only good thing about that game was Ndombele, actually, I thought, was our best player the moment he came on the field. He moved things. Everything started kind of moving quicker. Honestly, looking back at that game, I think if we had played maybe 10, 15 more minutes, we would have scored and won, at least one. Because I think we were growing into the game. It just happened it was too little too late at that point. Yeah. But then after that great cameo, Jose downplays it and doesn't start him for the North London Derby. Mm-hmm. But in hindsight of that game, I think Jose... Gotta go. Lucas will be back, I'm sure. But up until that kind of... God, I totally lost track of where I was. But I was just going to say, the derby itself, looking back, Jose, I think, tactically outplayed Arteta perfectly.
I agree.
Let's talk about the derby a little bit. Like, we let them kind of control the possession a bit in this game. Like, they had a 63-37, but we were able to get more shots and many more shots on target than that they were. I feel like we had something to prove this game that we haven't been showing, at least earlier this week and certainly since the restart. Nate?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people were worried about this game because we weren't sure if the players were going to be up for it. Because I just looking at Everton and Bournemouth, they didn't seem up for those games at all. And but they were. And you could see the intensity right off the bat. We didn't have a shot on target for Bournemouth game. We had, for the entire Bournemouth game, we had one shot on target in Arsenal within 20 seconds. And it was kind of that intensity from there. Now, it wasn't all attacking because you're right. We did let them have a ball, but... I think just mentioning those statistics, you can't do that without framing them in the context of the game. We were about even possession the entire first half, which was very back and forth. They got their goal. We got ours right after. They had a good chance when Aubameyang just missed the ball. Ben Davies shot one off the post. We were kind of going back and forth. And then the second half, we kind of went back into the Mourinho style. It's maybe he like told them to go more conservative, and people hated it. I didn't like it either because they were having more of the ball. Aubameyang hit the post. But that was really, other than that, I think maybe they had only one other good chance that whole time. It's just that we weren't really doing much. But then we did start. I think around like 75th minute, we started getting a little bit more, and there were a couple of good moments. And then we get the goal off the set piece. Then they had to attack, and we had like four or five amazing chances in the last 10 minutes of that game. And that's where you saw those shots on goal. Their keeper, Martinez, I think,
Was
fantastic.
He was their best player. He was easily their best player.
Yeah. I mean, that Davies save was amazing. Yeah. The save on Kane's shot was good. Both Kane's goals. Yeah, I forgot about the other Kane opportunity. Yeah. So I think, like, even though there were moments we were kind of in that Mourinho style, it's not like we went wanting for opportunities in this game at all. We had plenty of them. Maybe that speaks about Arsenal's defense, but that was great to see is to us to bounce back like that.
I think this game, a North London derby, does suit our squad, like the types of players that we have. We need a team that's going to come after us to a certain extent. Because we're much better on the counter than we are trying to break down a team that's sitting back. And we've certainly seen this with the earlier two games this week that we've kind of struggled through. Or really, it was forced, and we looked like we were out of ideas on the attack, even in Everton, where we pulled out the win on an own goal. Arsenal, we're kind of set up well for them. They're going to come after us. They're going to give us the opportunity to try and get behind their lines, and their defense has the capability of collapsing. So this was, I think, a good matchup for us. Lucas?
Yeah, I thought watching Arsenal Fan TV last night, which was just the best. It was just wonderful. But like, every one of them was like, oh, we smacked them today. We couldn't get the result, this and that. And I'm like, what game were they watching? Because I don't think... Like, they were making it sound like we got very lucky to get the 3 points. And I'm like Nate said, I thought that first half was bang even. I thought the second half, we let them have the ball and they had an opportunity or two, but it wasn't like they were knocking on the door for 45 minutes. It wasn't like they were creating, like, chance after chance, like when we played City twice this year and it was, like, just 45 minutes of taking it. So I thought, like, they had the ball for a little bit in the second half. We let them have the ball, but I never felt like we were out of control with the game. I thought we were in control the entire time. And again, couldn't be more happy with how it turned out.
And they only had 4 shots on target, and they had 13 total to our 15. We had 9 shots on target. So I think we definitely got the better of it. Nate?
But I think Lucas, when you say control, that's perfect for talking about our week. And I think what Mourinho wants to do in general is having more control. And even that control is kind of surrendering more possession than we're used to. I think if you look back at Pochettino when things went really wrong, it was that the game seemed totally out of control. Yeah, we'd have more chances. Yeah, we'd get more possession. But every time the opponent went forward, they looked like scoring. Like every time. Remember the first game against Arsenal this year?
Oh, Jesus.
It was a draw as well, but Lloris had to stand on his head. It was constant Arsenal pressure and constant great opportunities, and they missed a ton of them. And this game, yeah, it was 2-1 and we won and they had more possession, but it never felt like that for a moment. Yeah, Aubameyang had a couple chances that you would expect him to maybe do better on a different day, but he's one of the best strikers for a reason. But other than that, I think we held them well into control, and they had to score a worldie to beat us, to get a goal. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, it's about what are you willing to sacrifice to get what? And for me, I'm willing to sacrifice the Pochettino style to get a win over Arsenal like we did on Sunday. That just needs to be more consistent.
I think Joe had his hand up next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what you're saying about like controlling the game, because kind of what you're saying there, I don't think we've done that since Dembele left. I don't think we've ever controlled a game since he's, like, honestly. Maybe the odd home game, like when we smashed Bournemouth and Burnley, but especially away from home, right? So what, we've won 3 games on the road all year, and one of those against Wolves was a pretty lucky win, if we're honest. And I think that's what's killed us this season, is we don't have control in the middle, you know, without Dembele. And I think the idea with Ndombele was that he was going to be like this Dembele Mark II, but he's just not got the engine for it. You know, he's got good technique. He's obviously a talented player, but there's, we've not had anyone to really control the middle of a pitch. So I think that's why Mourinho's tactic in basically every game is just to sit back. And it works sometimes. Like, you guys are exactly right. Against Arsenal, perfect. They had a lot of the ball, but we looked far more dangerous. Like that, after we scored the second, we were the only team that was going to get another goal. They didn't look like equalising whatsoever. And it was, yeah, it worked in that game and against that opposition. But when you go away to Bournemouth and you kind of try and play that, it's not, that's why you get a turgid 0-0 with zero shots, because it doesn't work in that type game. So I think Mourinho's really missing like a central midfielder who can dominate and take control of the game. And without that, I think that's kind of, his hands are tied, and that's how he sees it at least. So I just think that's part of a reason that we are so conservative in like these away games, because he doesn't have faith in any of the midfielders to really take the game. Lo Celso, maybe, but he's not that type of player. He's more of an attack-minded player.
We've seen him try to be that, and I think in the three games we saw great we saw glimpses of why that might work, and also glimpses of why it won't. And like there were some good moments in the Everton game. There were certainly some great moments against Arsenal where he kind of took the ball and really got things moving. But it's not enough movement to kind of make it work. It's kind of like he's not enough Dembele, nor is he enough Eriksen to kind of be that missing piece for us yet. Maybe he'll, and he could definitely could turn into that and really find his own, but get confident. But I'm not. He doesn't seem to want the ball enough. I think that's why he got subbed off against Bournemouth, because I thought he was invisible in that game.
Yeah,
Lo Celso, and we've been kind of hyping him as he was kind of really growing to his own before the restart or before lockdown. And since then, he's kind of been hit or miss, to be honest.
Sheffield United as well, Nate. Like, this is the pattern. The away games don't suit him. This is where we need someone like a Sandro when he was at someone like that.
Just yeah, no, we need it. We need a defensive midfielder. But I think we can play other ways. I think the two forwards was very interesting, having Son and Kane play that close, because I don't remember them ever playing that close before. And I don't know if that was specifically because it was three defenders and it was three Arsenal defenders, and those Arsenal defenders were Luiz, Mustafi, Kolasinac, who were all fucking garbage, that we did it that way. But it felt like because we're still hitting it long, obviously.
Yeah.
It felt like when we hit it long, it's not even Kane doesn't even need to win it if Son's there. He might need to just force somebody off. The header goes a little bit off, and maybe Son's able to track it down, and we can move forward. Because it was interesting to see Lucas, who I hope we talk about a little bit, because I thought he was fantastic.
He was his best game since Ajax away.
Yeah, and he was playing a little.
Getting a lot of minutes this week, and he has been rotated some, but. What do we think we're seeing from him? Because I know we've questioned whether he can really do what we need him to do, but has Mourinho found the right role for the right job for Lucas, and he's taking advantage of it? Do you think he belongs in our squad as a starter? Or?
It's hard to make that judgment off of this one game.
Well, I think Mourinho likes him, though, because the thing about Lucas is, He's got a really good work ethic, and he's very hit and miss, and he's got limitations. He's not a very good passer, as we've seen. He can be a bit greedy, but he's a Mourinho-type player because he's quite versatile. He can either play in a front two, or he can play out wide, or he can even, like, against Arsenal, he played, like, as a wing-back almost, I thought, the amount of tackles he was making. And I think that's why Mourinho really likes that kind of adaptable player who'll work hard for the team. And that's the opposite of, you know, your Ndombele situation, where he's got a great talent, but he's not going to put a shift in like Lucas will. So I think Mourinho likes Lucas. And I think we've persisted with him because he's had a few bad games, but he kind of made up for it on Sunday. I agree with Nate. I thought he was best player by a
distance. Yeah. Honest. Absolutely. I mean, I think he had like 10 tackles. I think that was more than the entire Arsenal team. Like, I think it was ridiculous amount. And he was playing a little bit back because Son and King were up together.
Yeah.
And then Sissoko was playing high on the other side, or interchanging with, or not Sissoko. But yeah, actually, you know what? Sissoko was playing pretty high on the right.
No.
Yeah, higher than usual.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, he was getting into the box a couple times.
Right, yeah, he was more out there. So maybe that was interesting. Maybe even Lucas and Sissoko were playing parallel at times. But it seemed to work. They didn't really get that much joy down the flanks at all that I can remember. And we were able to get a lot of joy down those sides. I think that the corner certainly came from there. You were able to see even Kane get in some things down the left. It was very interesting. And I thought, like, Lucas had two brilliant balls that maybe deserved goals off the end of him. He had that great kind of ball that Kane made the runoff of and tried to hit it over Martinez in the first half. And then he had a good cross in that. I thought Son, I think, looked like he left thinking someone else was going to get it. And it kind of just passed in the box. So even his passing was on more than usual. Thing is, is it consistent enough? Let's see what he does against Newcastle. Because right now, okay, that's his one great game. We need two great games. Or one great game, one good game. Like, let's see what happens next.
Yeah. No, it's certainly he's a player to watch. He might grow into Mourinho's system, I guess. He might be ready-made for what Mourinho's looking for. Maybe that's a possibility. I do want to roll into a question that we have from Kyle Mates, and he asks, can we carry this type of energy the rest of the season? He actually had, like, kind of a funny photo image there, too, so take a look at the question on Twitter if you're interested. But was this an energy game? Was this like a high energy that we have to keep, or was this just like a well tactically played game?
I think it was a bit of both. I think you could just see even the way we were closing down and pressing from the beginning of the game. It's just like we didn't really. I know we got the result against Everton, but like that Everton game, it wasn't like. You just didn't see the tempo. So I'm hoping that it's not like, it's not just because it was Derby Day. So that's why I'm hoping that we can like keep that up moving forward towards the end of the season. But I think I don't want to make like a big judgment off one day yesterday, you know, cause we'll see. We'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah. I think that's a fair shout. Like I hope that we can keep that energy going, but I also think that what we've talked about today is that that's not necessarily Mourinho's way. Like his way is to just set yourself up for the best opportunity to ground out a result in a match, and that's not always going to be exciting or energy. But I think that we might be able to keep up these types of results, even if it isn't pretty at times. I think we can keep up this like. Get draws on the road, win at home, and come out for the big matches when we're taking on the toughest opponent. And I think that's something that Mourinho could do for us. Like that seems like that's right in his wheelhouse. So maybe we can keep the energy going, Kyle. Any final thoughts on these three matches this week before we kind of go to an MVP, LVP on the whole week?
I was just going to say, I think it's a shame about Man City winning their appeal today, because I quite fancied us to get Europa, and now I'm not sure it's going to happen, to be honest, which is a shame. I think if City had have had that ban upheld, we probably would have sneaked that last spot, but we can still do it, but we definitely need to win at least one of those away games. If we get maybe 7 points out of nine, that might be enough, but yeah, I think without City winning that appeal, we would have been looking at
Definitely. We'd be in the place now.
Eighth would be good enough now, but now it's going to have to be seventh.
Right.
Well,
one of the interesting things is I'm pretty sure at least every team ahead of us from Sheffield to Chelsea plays each other at least once in the next three games. And it's actually kind of wild. It's weird. We're not really in the top four race. And this year, the top four race now is insane because Chelsea's on 60, Leicester's on 59, United, who drew today somehow, rather than winning, are on 59 as well. And then I think Wolves are on 55 and Sheffield on 54. And I think Chelsea plays Wolves and Leicester play United on the final day, which is kind of mad to think about how crazy that kind of lined up. Makes you wonder if it was all fixed. No, just kidding.
We actually have a Since you brought it up, Nate, we actually have a question from Shubes on the city ban. He said, with the ban overturned, who would you realistically want to get third and fourth place? So we might as well tackle that now while we're on the topic.
Who do you guys want? Wolves and United.
Wolves and United, yeah, I think that's who I would go with. It.
I think after 2016, to see Leicester finish third in a two-horse race for fourth place
was
fucking hilarious.
I agree.
Speaking of Bournemouth and how terrible our game was, you guys watched Leicester's game against
Bournemouth. Better than losing 4-1 like Leicester
did. They absolutely collapsed. Yeah. And their defender, the Turkish guy, he's going to miss our game against them. He got violent conduct for that.
We will talk more about that when we set up the Leicester game in the second half. So we will come back to that topic for sure. But I think this might be a good place to go to MVP, LVP. And this is for the week. So I'm okay with you guys taking a little bit of leeway to explain people from different games that you might have given credit to. But choose for the week. But definitely give your props to people for individual game performances as well. So we'll talk about it as in that regard rather than each individual game, which I think would get a little bit too chaotic. So I think probably we'll start with Joe this time.
It's tough because there were three very different games. I think Hugo was brilliant against Bournemouth. If I'd give him, and I quite liked the fact, I didn't like that he did it in public, but I kind of liked him confronting Son. At the time, I didn't like, in the Everton game, that is, I didn't like that it was in front of the cameras, but I kind of admired a fight there. So I'm tempted by Hugo, but I'm going to go for Toby just because he's not really played much. Dyer's had that place, and I think he came in. Admittedly, the Bournemouth game was a bit of a nothing, non-event, but scoring the winner in the derby and coming in and doing a good job, I think Toby gets my vote.
Okay, that's a good shout. Let's just do MVP first. We'll come back to LVP. So, Nate, MVP?
I would say Hugo for a lot of the reasons Joe said. You kind of read my mind. I liked what he did with Son because if you look back to the Sheffield game, I think at least their first goal and maybe even a couple of the others were totally caused by Son not tracking back. It just had left space open for their guys to kind of walk into our box and able to kind of score that goal. And that set the tone for that game, and we kind of lost that game. And then watching him do that again at the end of halftime where he just couldn't be bothered to come back and track with Charleston. So having Hugo like scream at him, and as the captain, and I think a lot of us have been critical about Hugo being the captain not being vocal enough, because we see maybe Harry Kane is the more vocal person. To see him go and do that in front of everybody actually was reassuring. It's a shame that that was the most energetic anyone looked that entire game. I thought that would be translated a little bit more. But and then he made a great game-saving save against Bournemouth when I think Harry Wilson was kind of one-on-one with the keeper. And he was decent enough today, or Sunday. So as Joe said, the games were so different. There were players that played great in one game and then were terrible the next. It was really hard to pick like a cumulative MVP for this week. So I'm going to have to go with the captain because I think we got solid results and we were really strong at the back.
Well, and he only gave up one goal. So, I mean,
no one's saving that goal. Nobody. Yeah. It was a bullet. It was a hell of a shot.
Yeah, so I think that is a good shout, Nate. I remember at the time of him calling Son out, I would say like you're 30 feet from the locker room. Just take it into the fucking locker room and have it out with him there.
No, because that's going to be caught on cameras and put on the documentary. So there's nowhere private. If you think about it.
Well, I guess I understand that point, but I think creating the drama on the pitch I disliked at the time. But I definitely I saw the video after the fact of like him just not tracking back, and he had done the same thing in the Everton game too, and almost allowed goals to score. So this was a reoccurring thing with Son, and we talk about what we saw with Mora. Like Mora is doing that. He's tracking back and playing defense, and he's tough on both ends of the ball. And we're not getting that from Son as good as he is on the attack. And I think there is something to be said for the captain calling him out and saying, do your job. So good shout there, Nate. So Lucas, who do you have for MVP?
I had Hugo as well. I loved like two clean sheets, one goal that was a worldly. I did love the I agree with the both you guys where I would rather him just have done it in the locker room, because it's right now it's just like the media is just, you don't want to ever give the media a reason to tear us apart and like cause chaos and stuff like that, because they always seem to love to find a way to get their hands on any story, so you don't want to just feed them one. But I loved the passion from Hugo there. For me, apathy from players is like the biggest cancer you can have in your dressing room, when it's just obvious that guys don't give a shit. Like, look at Ozil. Like, could you imagine, that guy doesn't give a, he doesn't give a rat's ass about Arsenal, the shirt, anything like that. So it's like, when you see your captain actually pulling somebody aside and getting in somebody's face, even somebody like Son, it's great to see. And other than that, I agree that I thought he played really well all three games. Stood on his head in a couple key moments to keep us getting those points this week.
Yeah, good shout. And I was going to say Hugo before all you guys called him. I do want to give more of his dues. We talked about him earlier. I don't think he was quite MVP material, but I do think he we've seen some good, decent performances out of him. I do think Son came out for Arsenal. I am starting to see glimpses of when Harry can actually get the ball. It seems like he has the possibility of doing Harry Kane things again. Definitely not MVP material. I think you guys are right. It has to be.
It's someone in defense.
Yeah,
it has to be someone in defense.
Yeah, it has to be Hugo.
That's where we were our best.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so good shouts there, but let's go to LVP now. I think there's been a lot of poor performances over the week, but we've also ground out the results, so it might be a little bit unfair, but who do you guys see? And we'll go back to Joe for the LVP.
Yeah, this is like the logic of it's got to be a defender for MVP. It's kind of got to be an attacker for LVP, I think. And I just think the midfield's not working. The combinations aren't right in there. And it's a bit harsh. There's not a glaringly obvious candidate as such, but I'm going to go with Winks just because I don't think he's doing what we need him to do. I just don't... I think that's our problem area, the middle. And I feel like I'm scapegoating him because he's not by any means the glaring, you know, he's letting us down every week kind of thing. But I just feel like that's the position we're weakest in, and that's kind of the space he's occupying. I think Sissoko's not necessarily playing great, but he'll always work for you. And I thought he did a good game against Arsenal. So I'm going to say Winks for when he's played. But again, it's a bit harsh, and I acknowledge that.
And we're still talking about a Winks Sissoko midfield right now.
Yeah.
In 2020, the summer of 2020. So that's
strange times we live in.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like with the midfield right there, Nate, what do you have?
I couldn't pick one. I have nobody because I can't scapegoat anybody. I mean, even Winks, I thought he was excellent against Everton. He was, I think, one of my best players on the day. The way he played in that game, he really shut them down. Everton didn't look like they could do anything. They couldn't get through the midfield. And even the Arsenal game, even though he wasn't able to do things offensively, his tactical fouling really slowed things down. In fact, that is a huge improvement across the board, by the way.
Yeah. And I'm sure it was Mourinho special, that, isn't it?
Tactical fouling has changed how we play and makes us, and seems to make us like way less worried on the counter. We'll just knock the fuck out of people. And we do it in a way where, I mean, we've got guys that'll do it. We've got three or four of them that are pretty damn good in it. And Sissoko, Winks, and Lo Celso, and Ben Davies as well. We've got four or five guys that are great at fouling people. Underrated skill you never think about, but it's worked for us a little bit. But like even so, Winks offensively was out of it, but I thought defensively he did a good enough job against Arsenal too. So I can't pick him. I can't pick Serge. Because I thought he was our best attacking threat against Bournemouth, which sounds ridiculous, but he really was. And that was actually a game where he put in two or three good crosses. There was just no one on the end of them. And I don't blame that on him. I blame that on our forwards who refused to get into the box. So I don't think it could be Kane either. You could make an argument that he was invisible against Everton or in Bournemouth. But even so, for Bournemouth, and again, I'm talking about defense, but he had some amazing clearances on the back end when we were put under pressure by Bournemouth. And he kind of ran the show, even though he didn't score against Arsenal, where he looked a threat at every single moment, even though he didn't score. So I can't pick him. I could not pick anyone over the three scale games I think warranted LVP. So okay. I got nobody.
Lucas, do you have anybody?
Yeah.
No, I don't have one for the week. Each game was so different, and it's like Nate said, it's like Winks looked invisible in one game and looked great against Everton. Surge looked great against Bournemouth and then looked shocking yesterday. I mean, what was that one that when that ball was like looping in?
Oh my god!
And he just like touched it for no reason and gave
it. I thought they were sure to score.
I was like, what the hell is he doing? Like, there's like some of the things that he decides to do are just shocking. And
he did that against Chelsea, if you remember. Willian's goal came from a corner where he did exactly that same thing. For no reason.
Yeah. And so there was good individuals, or each guy I think had up games and down games this week. I can't have one specific guy that I could think of that warranted it for all three. So no LVP for me.
Okay, I'll dig in and say the Surge. I think maybe there was a couple of good crosses in there that you're observing, but I also saw a lot of failure on the defensive end. And yes, I understand that like we were getting more on the attack out of him. We're always going through his side of the pitch. It seems like we don't want to attack from Ben Davies' side at all. So I understand that he's like they see him coming, which I think kind of takes him out of the game. But there was just there's something to be said, even if he's crossing to a good spot and nobody's there, maybe nobody's there for a tactical reason, or maybe it's the player's fault for not bombing the box, but also why cross it if nobody's moving into the space? You have to be in better communication with the team. I don't want to beat him up too much because I do agree with you guys that he's had some good moments over the week. But if I had to pick somebody, I think it would be Surge. I really think that we need to focus on midfield and right back this off season. Unfortunately, and I mean maybe both fullbacks, but
yeah, I was gonna say both for me.
I'll give it to Surge just for the sake of actually picking somebody. But good conversation there. It was definitely interesting to talk about these three very different games, like all together and the week that happened. But we are going to go stay live and go to half. And Tommy did give us a back page update. I am going to read it for you. I'll try not to hatchet it too bad, but I'm going to read it through. So, hi, everybody. I'm Anthony, and this is Tommy's back page update. The Metro is claiming Spurs are confident in sealing the transfer for Chelsea center back Kurt Zouma for £25 million. This would be an interesting signing. I gladly wouldn't mind it, as I do think he's a good defender, and we will need one for likely departing Jan Vertonghen. The biggest issue is, will Chelsea be willing to entertain our offer to give us a fair price? I doubt it, Tommy says. So the Sun says center back Eric Dier is demanding to get his wages doubled in the quest for a new contract. If true, I don't think it would be worthy of a wage of £120,000 a week. Toby Alderweireld is better than him and makes less, even though he is on the downside of his career. Eric Dier certainly has a place in the squad. I would say the pay range of £100,000 a week plus incentives is more than reasonable. Also, note that Jose Mourinho said in an interview earlier in the month that he wants to sign Dier to a new contract, and he is happy here. Tommy thinks that there's maybe not total truth to that. The Daily Star is reporting Spurs will reject all offers for Ryan Sessegnon this summer. Sources close to the club say he isn't for sale. Another rumor says Jose Mourinho could be loaned next season so he can get playing time and develop. We could definitely use him next season, but barring a new signing, Ben Davies is the de facto number one left back next season. A loan would be great because he could be a contributor for a Premier League team and not be left to rot. Okay, so lastly from Tommy, numerous sources believe that Chelsea winger Willian will be offered a lucrative contract by Spurs, which would include a big salary and an alleged £250,000 a week signing bonus. Can I see Willian at Spurs? Yes, Tommy says. Do I see him signing for a large amount of money as reported? No. This is higher than the alleged wage of Harry Kane. He would be swayed to join with the wage offer, but I doubt Daniel Levy would agree to this. A more manageable wage would be the likely solution. Anthony, and this is Tommy's back page update. So thanks, Tommy, as always, for the interesting facts. And
I got to say something.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, go for it.
I got to say something. Admittedly, I skip the back page update a lot when I listen, so I don't hear it too often. But to come out with the Metro, the Sun, and the Daily Star as the big sources, which are like the lowest tier newspapers you could go for. And I'm just like, that's bullshit.
It's like the National Enquirer of the
right.
Those ones, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's out there spewing right now, because nobody knows where this offseason is going is what the problem is, I think, right now. Like, that's kind of where we're at, like, with the... We have rumors out there, but nobody knows who's really going to be willing to spend money with COVID-19, no crowds. It's kind of a weird time, and the rumors are going to continue to go, but they don't always fit what's happening, I think.
Better to be there than here, to be honest.
Oh, certainly. But I think nobody knows where the economy of sports is going to go this next season, and it's tough to predict. But we can dream of players still, and certainly Mourinho is going to want to make some moves. So some of these have, like, that ring of truth that it might be something that he's interested in. Whether Daniel Levy lets it happen, that's another story altogether. But thank you, Tommy, as always, for the good conversation. I do want to break into the second half. We have a second question from Kyle Mates, and this one's a little bit of fun. We're just going to take maybe 2 minutes to do this. But Kyle Mates asks us to name a song to that we want to play when we score, other than Sandstorm, or what songs you'd like to see individual players have play when they score a goal. So is there anything that you guys want to hear, like a song that you would love to hear played over the sound system at the New White Hart Lane?
Ooh. I've got to say, before people answer, it's got to be one of my pet hates in modern football, playing music. I suppose it's different now. There's no crowd. They have to kind of artificially create the atmosphere. But it's, no offense, it's a very American thing that's kind of permeated into the Premier League. And I'm as an old school, old fuddy-duddy traditionalist, I'm not having it. It's not something I'm approve of.
I agree with you in most cases. I think we should play into that and just make some our music like the most ridiculously unhyped thing.
Yeah.
Like
Cotton Eye Joe or something.
Like, Cotton Eye Joe. Like, that would be a little bit ridiculous. All I know is, like, the Sandstorm and the Zombie Nation that we've been playing, I hate. Because that is, like, full Americanized bastardization, and it sucks this year. And with our colors plus Zombie Nation, it just makes us, like, the soccer version of Penn State. If you know what Penn State is, I hate Penn State. I hate them. They're one of my least favorite, like, college sports and football teams. They harbored a pedophile for years and years and years. And then they got mad when the coach that allowed it to happen got fired, so they staged a riot on the campus. Absolute scumbags. Apologies to any Penn State alumni that are listening to this, but y'all know that was fucked up, so you can't say anything about that. And that was Tyler Sports, so we should not do anything that Penn State does. And that's my American sports reference.
Do you have a song, though? Anybody have a song?
I have a song, Right Said Fred by Bernard Cribbins. Just like, whoever knows that, that's my English reference to combat the American sports reference. Have it be like something so like mundane or like so non-sportsy that it just seems like overly ridiculous. Hell, Claire de Lune. Like, make it outlandish. You're just like, why is this going on?
Yeah.
Like when you in America, every baseball player has walk-up music. So when I always thought like what mine would be, it'd be something like that ridiculous. Just try to take everybody out of the moment. Be like, wait a minute, what's this now? Why is Mozart playing or some shit? Like
yeah. That.
So I think we should just make a mockery of the whole thing and kind of turn it on its head and pick some ridiculous song. And I'd love to hear what other people that are listeners would choose to kind of fit that mold.
Maybe the listeners can tweet their answer to this on Twitter tomorrow. Just tweet it to @4StarSpurs. What song you want to hear heard? I think that might be the better solution here than us coming up with our mediocre solutions to the music situation. You got something though, Lucas?
Yeah, I agree with Joe. I'm okay with it right now because there's no stand or there's no like crowd in the stands. So like, if it's gonna happen right now, so be it. But I really hope when the stadium reopens and people can go back that's not a lasting thing. I hope that there is, especially too with VAR and stuff, it's like you get everyone, like you get this music bumping and all of a sudden it's like, oh, actually.
Yeah, there's no way. That'd be ridiculous to have
it's
this
so
big,
awkward. I just,
this big to-do done and all of a sudden, oh, we gotta walk it back. Just play the music on rewind. Like it never happened.
Yeah, like when West Ham released Bubbles and they scored against
us. Oh, exactly.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was the best.
Yeah, oh, I remember that. But we have two games to preview and we're running short on time, so I'm going to break out of that question and let's go into the two games. So this Wednesday, so here in Chicago, that'll be July 15th, 12 p.m. We take on Newcastle away. So they currently sit 13th place in the league with 43 points. That's 11 wins, 10 draws, and 14 losses. Most recently, they lost to Watford this weekend 2-1. Prior to that, they lost to Man City. That was a 5-0 loss. They drew to West Ham prior to that. Beat Bournemouth, lost to Man City in the FA Cup again prior to that. Upcoming on Monday the 20th, they take on Brighton away. Their top goal scorer right now is Jonjo Shelvey, Voldemort, with 6. Miguel Almiron is behind him with 4. Alan Saint-Maximin is the top assist man with 4, and Andy Carroll has 4 as well, believe it or not. Shelvey is also the top-rated player for them, 7.13, and Maximum is their next top-rated player with 7.03. Last 5 times we've faced them, we lost to them most recently in August 2019 in a 1-0 loss. And prior to that, we've beat them the previous 4 times we faced them, believe it or not, because I think we do have the memories of Newcastle being spoilers for us in recent years, but we have going back to August of 2017 handled them well. So what do you guys think on this game?
Well, they've got nothing to play for, do they, really? You know, they're safe mid-table. I don't know, like I don't think on the road I have as much confidence in us. If this was at home, I would fancy us to get a narrow victory. But on the road, we just seem to be, like I mentioned earlier, we only got 3 wins all season. The fact Newcastle aren't playing for anything could benefit us because they might be pretty apathetic about the game. I know they drew with West Ham. They've had a couple of like quite mediocre results at home lately. But I don't know. I think I just don't have faith in us on the road. So I don't fancy us to be brutally honest. I think it might be a draw this one.
Yeah.
Although Saint-Maximin is missing apparently. I think he might be suspended or injured, and he is their best creative player, so that could play into our hands.
Well, I think they had a couple players out. You are correct that he's unavailable, and I'm missing the other player, but they had a couple of key players that were.
Well, Danny Rose can't play because of his terms of his loan, so he's not able to play.
Yeah, I think Al Marone might miss the game too. I think he's touch and go, and you wonder if they'll even bother. Considering you're right, they have nothing to play for. The thing is, I can't. I agree with you 100%. I think on paper, this and how we've been playing, we'll be confident. But I'm not confident. I can't be. I'm not confident for any game on the road. Mourinho, apparently, he's never won at Newcastle.
Really?
I think he said.
Really?
Which I can't believe. I might have. I need to look that up. But he said no, he, like,
that might be there. Right. I think in the Premier League, right? Because I think they probably won there in the Cup, Chelsea.
Maybe. But they've never. He said like he's never beaten them. So that's a. It's also something that's in there. Now they won't have their crowd, which is a big help for them. But that doesn't seem to matter for our road form anyway. So yeah, I'm just. I think. We're hoping. I think there was a time where I'd have looked at the Arsenal game and said, "Oh yeah, that's going to kick us on for the rest of the season." But I think I've grown wiser now and realizing that that could be the one-off. That could be they got up because it was Arsenal, and they're going to kind of go back down because it's not Arsenal. Even though I'd like that to be different, but it's really important because I really think I really think we could get Europa. Just because of how much the teams in front of us play each other. And like any draw there, if we were able to win our final three games, and I think you could make the argument that because Leicester's kind of in free fall, and we'll get on that in a moment, you could make the argument that this is the toughest game just because of how poor we've been on the road. A win here would be amazing. And I think a win here would give us a really good chance to get Europa League. So I think there's still a lot to play for this season. And it would be really nice to end the season on a high note, but I just can't see us. I can't see us capturing momentum because we've just never had it this season. It's kind of been one game to the next, kind of up and down. This is kind of a prove me wrong moment for Tottenham.
Well, and maybe Mourinho's momentum isn't what we think of as it's not Pochettino momentum where. Like you roll over Stoke 4-0 and then you go on to take on I can't remember Watford and roll over them as well. I'm thinking a couple years ago. That's obviously momentum, but maybe Mourinho momentum is like you're grinding out the results every week and you're just looking at the total point package, and maybe this is the type of game that he can find a way to scrape out that 1-0 victory and on the road and walk away from a team that doesn't really have much to play for with the 3 points that he needs and kind of sneak up on the rest of the teams that are, like, as you said, playing one another in that middle of the table right now. They probably didn't think much of those when the schedule was made last year. They probably didn't think much of Sheffield playing Wolves or whoever it is. But those matches really matter now, so it does give us a little bit of an opportunity. I do think it's a long shot for us to sneak into a Europa League flat. Like, though I would love to have at least Thursday night football just for the sake of having something to watch. But any final thoughts on this Newcastle game before we kind of do predictions? Okay, let's go to predictions. So let's start with Lucas's time.
I'm thinking 1-1. I'll say goal is. I'm gonna say goal for Kane. He's due. He's missed what? Hasn't scored in what? Since Sheffield at the end there. I don't really fancy us to win. I don't think. I just don't trust our away form. I don't know. You know, it's just. There's just something about. Going up to Newcastle, I don't like either. So, I'm not feeling like it's a win.
Okay, Nate?
I'm with you, Lucas, but I'm going to be even more of a pessimist. I think we lose 1-0. I think it's going to be a shitty game. I have a very little confidence that we can bring the momentum back. So hopefully Tottenham will prove me wrong. And I think you making the point that it's up in Newcastle is even more sense. Like, having to travel that far... and then get up for that game, and it's not like there's a crowd to help you get up for that game. I wonder how much that plays in mentally. So I just think, like, coming off Arsenal and then having Leicester at home, which I'd have to think there are players in that team that want to get back at them too, having this be that in-between game kind of becomes a trap game, and I think we fall for it, and I think we lose.
Okay. Joe, what do you have?
Yeah, I hate to continue the theme of pessimism here, but I agree with Lucas. I was thinking the same result as him. I'm thinking a 1-1. I'm going to go for Son as the scorer, but I think Nate's right. It's going to be another... I mean, I think what Mourinho's doing with these away games, after Sheffield United, he's just wanting to, back to basics, just keep it tight at the defence, even if it's at the sake of the game as a spectacle. And I think if we get a 1-1, it's not terrible. That's what I think will happen.
Okay, I'm going to differ from you guys. I'm going to be a little... And this is strange for me. I'm going to be the optimist here. I'm looking at like our last two times going to Newcastle, and back in August 2018, it was a 2-1 win, and then we had a 2-0 win in August 2017. We did lose to them at our home in August this year, but I just have a feeling about this. Like, I think they're ripe for the picking. They have some injuries. They can't play Rose. Like, I think they don't have much to play for. They don't have fans to support them. I think we're going to go in on the high from Arsenal, and I think that we pluck them here 2-1. We barely scrape by. I think we get a goal from Harry Kane. And I think Bergwijn gets some playing time in this game, and I think we see another goal from him. I think we see a lot of good stuff from him at times, and I think this will be a good opportunity too. We have one more game to talk about before we wrap things up, and that is this Sunday. We take on Leicester City at home. This is July 19th at 10 a.m. here in Chicago. Currently, Leicester sits fourth place in the league with 59 points. That's 17 wins, 8 draws, and 10 losses. As Nate mentioned earlier, they got spanked by Bournemouth most recently this Sunday, 4-1. Prior to that, they drew to Arsenal, they beat Palace, and then they lost to Everton and lost to Chelsea. So they're in kind of a poorish form, and they're coming to our home, which is, I think, benefits us even without the crowd. They do have an upcoming match this Thursday, so their game's a little bit more recent than ours. So they're on a little bit shorter rest than us. They take on Sheffield United on Thursday the 16th. So this is one of those like top table matches that we were talking about, where they have to play one another to compete for those spots. So that should be considered in our possible opportunity here. They play Manchester United after us. So on Sunday, July 26th. So they have that looming over them after they play us. It doesn't get much easier for them after us. So their top goal scorer right now is Jamie Vardy with 23 goals. Perez is behind him with 7. Harvey Barnes is the top assist man with 8, and Yuri Thielman is behind him with 6. James Maddison is the top-rated player for Leicester City with 7.33, and then Ricardo Pereira is behind him with also 7.33, so they're equal there on player rating, which is pretty impressive talent that they have for a team that came up from relegation, 4 years ago now?
The league champions as well.
Yeah, they were league champions. Yeah, we can't forget that. So what do you guys think about this one?
I fancy us to win this game. I mean, we're at home, and they are in really bad form, actually. I read somewhere that if you go since New Year's Day, they're 14th. In the league. I think they've completely bottled the Champions League places. They were really in a strong position there. And now that Man City are reinstated, like we mentioned earlier, they're really... It's got to be very fraught for them in terms of getting that place. And I think that's going to play into our hands. I think they're going to be nervous. I think they're panicking a little bit. Maddison's been injured lately. He's not really been firing when he has played. The one player we need to be wary of is Vardy. I think he is the top scorer in the league, right? I'm pretty sure he's the league top scorer.
Yeah, he's still leading the league, yeah.
and he's just so dangerous. So on the with he's such a direct player. I actually really like Vardy as a player. I mean, not as a person, I should make that clear, but I love the style. Like, he's just plays off the shoulder of the last defender, so fast, so direct, and he's a really good finisher. And I hope we put Sanchez on him just to match him for pace, because I think Toby might struggle to keep up with him. But no, overall, I fancy us to win this game. I feel much more confident than I do about any of our away games about this one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you too. I think just looking at their form, they're going to be missing Sokyanu, I think is his name. He's a Turkish defender, got sent off against Bournemouth, and he's been probably one of their better defenders and very good, very tidy with his feet. And like the other guys, Johnny Evans, who's actually done well for them, is not. So... And we'll see who they kind of plug in there as well. The thing with
Morgan will come in, right?
Is he still there?
I think so. Yeah, I think he's their backup. So
I like the idea of a Bergvine or a Son running at West Morgan. So as opposed to the other guy who's been very good for them, I think the players will be up for this more. Having it at home obviously makes a difference. And I think we'll be able to play. The thing about Leicester is it'll be really interesting to see, because even if they don't make Champions League, but if they do make Champions League, how their squad can take it, because we've seen a couple of guys get injured for them in Madison. When they played Arsenal, and they actually got a draw in that game because Nketiah got sent off.
Yeah.
Arsenal should have won that game. They tore them apart the first half. Yeah. They had both fullbacks out that game. I don't know if that was tactical or that was also due to injury or suspension. So that's a problem for them. For them, they're going to have in that situation we were where when we didn't have our first 11, we'd go to pieces. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do with the European competition next year. But that's long term, and thinking short term, I'm more confident for this game than Newcastle, which makes no sense unless you see how Tottenham has been playing recently. Then it makes perfect sense that we would fear Newcastle away more than the team in fourth at the moment. But that's just how things are right now.
Yeah, they are going to come after us to a certain extent. Like they have an attack, and that seems to suit us. Like Mourinho is good at shoring up that defense and working out a counter when the team gets caught too far forward. So I think a game like this does suit us. But what do you think, Lucas?
I think it's going to be... I like what Joe said, too, about how earlier they're falling apart. Because I think throughout the game, if we do just... I think we might see something similar to what we did against Arsenal and let them have the ball a little bit. And I think as that game goes on, they're going to become more desperate and desperate because they need the win a lot more than we do right now. They don't have a choice. They need 3 points in all of these games if they're going to actually make Champions League. Where we're kind of sitting here like, man, maybe there's a shot at Europa, maybe not. They're right on the cusp there, so they need all 3 points. They need every point they can get. So I think as the game goes on, I think it actually benefits us, and we might see them be a little bit panicky.
Well, and to your point, Lucas, we're also sandwiched between Sheffield United and Manchester United, so these are competitors for the same spot.
Yeah, they got such a hard schedule now.
I think that suits us very well, like the positioning in just their lineup of matches. Like I think that they're going to be eyeballing us, but they have to be thinking about Manchester United and Sheffield United around us. And if those two games don't go well, then they're in some serious trouble. They're dropping out of they're dropping out of Champions League, and I think they certainly want to accomplish that after the year they put together, sitting pretty in the top four for most of the season.
I think weren't they second at some point?
Yeah, like, they were second
not long ago.
Around Christmas time, there was talk they were going to be the main challengers to Liverpool, and then Liverpool beat them like 4-0 at Leicester.
Yeah,
and then they kind of never really recovered.
Were unbeatable that day. I remember watching that game and just be like, yeah, these guys are waltzing it. No one's going to touch them. Yeah. That was very interesting.
But asterisks. We always have to put the asterisks on this season, right?
Yeah.
I wish I could agree with you there, but...
No, they've won. It's so really, really good.
No, it's just the earth.
Let's hope it falls to pieces next year and they all lose. Or here's the fun thing. I mean, if you're a Man City fan, if they win the FA Cup and then win the Champions League, they could argue they had the better season.
Yeah, they'll have won the treble, right? Would
drive Liverpool fans absolutely insane. So that could be interesting. Yeah. But yeah, no, they were special. I think they got lucky a ton. I do not see them repeating. I do not see them. And I think you'll see teams like United, who look very good, even though they dropped points today. And Manchester City come back strong next season. So Liverpool got their day in the sun, but I think it'll be short-lived.
Yeah, I
hope so. There.
It sucks that it comes when we're falling from grace, but
We'll be in the title picture next year, though. Trust me.
Yeah, I think there'll be a rebuild that we're.
I'm feeling it. I'm getting hyped in the results. It's definitely, like I put it earlier, it's like thinking like you're like, you hear about this great restaurant, but you got to hike to get there, and the hike to get there is fucking awful. And it's like there's high grass, and you're getting like bugs biting you, and it's ridiculously hot and humid, and you've run out of water, and you're struggling to get there, and you get there, and it's like the most amazing steak you've ever had, or whatever you want to eat, and it's perfect, and it's excellent. She's like, oh my god, this was so worth it. But it's only worth it if you get there and the food is that good. And Mourinho is like, where it's just ugly as shit, but if the results at the end of it are worth it, you don't care. Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. That's what we have to hope for.
You start acknowledging other things. You start appreciating other things. So,
Lucas, a quick point before we go to predictions?
Yeah, I agree. I think results make everything better. It's, you ask any Spurs fan, they'll tell you, no, I want to play like our high-flying Tottenham way, all this and that. And it's like, okay, well, you're not going to give two shits when we win the FA Cup or we win the league or we win the Premier League. It's like when we're standing there holding that trophy, you're not going to be like, I just don't think this was worth it. I didn't like the way we played today. No, you're going to be like, hell yeah, we have the trophy. Like, that's what it's going to.
Yeah, ask Chelsea about 2012. None of them care that was lucky.
Nope.
Yeah. They got dominated by Bayern Munich. They still won the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think it'll be. We just need to be patient. I think there is a little bit of rebuilding that's going to be happening. We're going to see a lot of overhaul in the squad, and we just have to remember that these things take time. We were fucking awful last year. We were a very bad football club, and it's like, what were we at 14th when he came in? So it's like, it's going to take time. You don't just wave a magic wand and all of a sudden start smashing teams. So
unless you're Chelsea,
unless you're Man City, and you can just buy it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to jump in, and we're going to do a speed round of predictions because we're running long here. But it's been a great episode and a great conversation, a great cast to talk to today. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Wow, so you must think Kevin, Sam, and Tommy are just total shit then, huh? I appreciate
that. Don't put words in my mouth. Those guys, I can't put them back. I'm going to start with my prediction, and I do think that this suits us with the sandwich game at home. I think we are going to come out of this good, and I'm going to go with my 3-1 prediction that I did for this for the Arsenal game, and I think we get a goal from Harry. I think we get a goal from Son, and I think we get a goal from Sissoko. I'm going to give the one to Sissoko because into the box like we saw against Arsenal. I think he's going to get his goal this game. So that's my prediction. Let's go to Lucas next.
I think we win 2-1, and I got my goals for Kane and Lucas.
Okay, good shout. Nate?
It's clean sheet season, boys and girls. 2-0. I think it is Kane and Davinson Sanchez on a set piece. It'll be a set piece team now.
He scored against them. Did he score against Leicester last season?
That's his only goal for us, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good shout. Joe, do you have?
I think Lucas is reading my mind because both games he's exactly predicted. So I'm going to go different. I'm going to say our prolific goal scorer continues his good run, and that is own goal. We're going to win 1-0 with another own goal.
Fine by me.
Yeah,
I think home goal's our top scorer since the restart, right? So come on, he's going
to
do it again.
I thought they gave that goal to Sanchez, the West Ham game. Was it an own goal?
I think it was an own goal. You might be right, Nate. I thought it was an own goal.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up. But fantastic episode. This has been a great conversation. I am gonna roll out now because we've gone like an hour and 15. But this is a very good conversation. But that about wraps it up. So thanks to Rick for editing and sound, Charlie for the music, Kevin for social media, Tommy for back page update, Kimberly for the logo, and as always, Atlantic, even though we're not recording there now. Can't wait till they reopen. They're supposed to be open for Leicester City, so come out then, but keep coming
to
Celtic Corner prior to that for the previous game at Newcastle. Find our merchandise at Big Head Media if you're interested in buying anything. Hit the subscribe button and write us a review on iTunes if you like our podcast, or give us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at 4 Star Spurs and our website at 4starspurs.com. Come on, you Spurs.